Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello, welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's good to have you tonight, the 16th day of July, 2025. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're going to bring up a guest in a minute. It's going to discuss something, and I guess you say it's a little bit scary. Seriously. And we'll explain to you just a minute what I mean. Before we go there, though, don't forget, tomorrow being Thursday, if everything goes the way we plan, it will be in office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern, taking phone calls, answering questions if I can, maybe minister some to you if you need prayer, whatever. Folks, that's what I'm here for. And Thursdays, I'm allowed to be in office all day and just talk to you folks. Don't feel ashamed or shy or anything else to give me a call tomorrow. If you want a place to order tomorrow or give a donation, that's always appreciated. But tomorrow is our day. If you want to talk, I'll talk as long as I can. If I can't get everything in, I will call you back when I'm free. And I mean that. You give us a call tomorrow with any questions, comments, prayer requests, orders, whatever, at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. And if you can call long distance, we'd appreciate if you would, because that would save us quite a bit of money on the toll-free number. If you call 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. You can call tomorrow, like I said, and talk to us. Love to hear from you. And if it's Saturday, Lord willing, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we're going into first half hour. Our get-together is always prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30, we get into Christian worldview news and prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. If you saw the world news today, you saw Damascus was bombed again. That fulfills prophecy, folks. Damascus will become a ruinous heap before the last days. It's being fulfilled before our eyes right now. And of course, at 1 o'clock, we're going to do a Bible study. We're going to talk to Daniel Smithwick. He runs a program called the Nehemiah Institute. Now, you'll know more about that when he joins us. But he's going to show us how polluted, diluted, and misinformed we become as Christians, to the point that has changed our mindset. Our Christian worldview has been blurred by teachings. You're going to learn about this on Saturday at 1 o'clock. You'll be joining us live via Zoom. So come and join us. You can join us if you like by going to PastorBush.com and clicking on our website. And there you'll find below there, I think it's Rumble. And you also find a thing on Brighteon. But you click on that site right below where it says Listen Live. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern, and there will be, again, 11:30, then again at 1 o'clock. It'll be a half-hour break in between each one of those. So you feel free to join us. And if you cannot join us online, call the number 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. 5013. Now, we want you to join us. We're doing anything in our power to make it so you can do that. And I hope you will. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture. In Proverbs 24, I'll bring up our guest, Dr. Heidi Kessling. In Proverbs 24, two very plain-spoken warnings to us. That's all of us. In verse 11, Proverbs 24 says this, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" We have set by as a whole, and mostly idly, while they slaughtered somewhere near 100 million unborn children. And that's the only part of the situation, folks. We've set by mostly idly when innocent children, women and children are bombed all over the world for the sake of our imperialistic government, along with the one we now call Israel. We're seeing so much this happen. And believe me, one day we're going to answer for it. We truly are. We already are, but it's going to get much worse. But now, having read those statements, and we're going to tell you why this ties in tonight's program. Again, we're going to talk to Dr. Heidi Kessling. And I want you to pay attention to what this lady has done. Dr. Heidi, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Butch. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Oh, you're very much welcome, and it's an honor to have you. Before we get into what we're going to discuss tonight, tell the folks who Dr. Heidi Kessling is, please.
Yes, I'm a retired anesthesiologist and pain management specialist who now writes and speaks on the subject of organ donation and transplant ethics.
Okay. And give us a little more. That's good. I mean, that's a good overview. But how long have you been doing that?
Well, let me tell you how all this started for me, and maybe you can kind of follow along with my story and understand how this all came to be. So I'm retired now, but during my training back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, I came in one night for night call, and I reported for duty, and I went to the operating room desk, and the doctor said, "Oh, Klesig, glad that you're here. We want you to go up to the ICU and bring down a brain-dead man to have his organs harvested." Well, this kind of caught me by surprise. You know, I sort of remembered hearing a lecture somewhere along the line about brain death, but I sure didn't have all the facts right at my fingertips. So, you know, I didn't want to look stupid. So I just looked at him and smiled, and I said, "Oh, organ harvest. Huh. You know, is there anything different about that I need to know?" And actually, he laughed and kind of rolled his eyes, and he said, "Just be sure someone has actually declared him brain dead. You know how eager the transplant team can be."
No, I want to pause there a second.
Yeah.
You made a statement there that's very, in my mind, dangerous. You know how eager the transplant people can be. Explain what that means.
You know, when I talk around the country, doctors and nurses, you know, come up to me and they say, "You know, I've always felt sort of uncomfortable with this whole brain death idea because I felt pressured. I felt as though the transplant team was pressuring me to make a diagnosis in a certain way and to do it quickly because they're in a hurry to do what they want to do and take organs out of one person and put them into another. And people feel uncomfortable because many people are feeling, I've heard the word vultures used as the transplant team comes around, that they're looking at people not as beautiful creations made in the image of God, but, you know, as a bag of spare parts.
As dollar signs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that is quite a, and I'm saying the plain out damning statement. I mean, are you insinuating perhaps that these people are not just them, but the organ harvesting business doesn't care whether the person is alive or dead? They just want the parts?
You know, I'm not insinuating anything about any individual person. I think people involved in the transplant industry are completely convinced that they are doing altruistic, good, life-saving work. I think very few probably are actuated by the dollar signs as their primary motivation. Though certainly the transplantation industry is a very high-paying industry overall. There was just an actuarial company called the Milliman Company that came out in 2025. And if you look at the billed charges for transplantation just in the United States, it's a $60 billion a year industry.
$60 billion a year. Wow, I would never guess that much. Gee. Okay, well, you're going to tell your story. You were told to bring down this individual. Go ahead.
Sure. So I went up to the ICU and I found my patient, and he was a young man about my own age at the time. He had been in a motorcycle accident and he had had a severe head injury, and yes, the neurologist had in fact declared him to be brain dead. So I went in to see him, and honestly, my first thought when I walked into the room was how glad I was that his family wasn't in the room with him. You know, if any of you have had surgery, you might remember the anesthesiologist coming in and looking you over, and then we usually try to reassure the patient and the family that we're going to take good care of them, that they'll be kept comfortable, and they'll be returned to their family, you know, in good shape. But, you know, what do you say to a family whose loved one isn't coming back? So I was glad that it was just the patient in the room and no one else. But when I went to look at him, you know, he didn't look dead. He had good blood pressure. He had a good heart rate. He had excellent oxygen saturation in his blood. His skin was warm and supple. I mean, he looked like every other ICU patient I had taken care of, and in fact, better than most. He was on very little as far as medications or drips. So I went back down to the operating room, and I found the supervising staff anesthesiologist who was going to be overlooking my case, and I presented the facts to him. And he said, okay, you know, what is your anesthetic plan of care? So I said, well, I think I'll use a paralyzing agent so that he doesn't move during the surgery, because surgeons get kind of crabby when the patient is moving and they're trying to operate, right? Who wouldn't? And then I said, I'll give some fentanyl, which is a potent painkiller, to blunt any heart rate or blood pressure swings that might damage the organs. So then he looked at me and he said, are you going to give a drug to block consciousness? And I was stunned. I wasn't sure what to make of that. I said, why would I do that? Isn't he dead? And I'll never forget the long, slow look he gave me over his surgical mask. And he said, why don't you give one just in case? And he walked away. Well, I'll tell you
just
what.
Just in case he might be alive?
Just in case he might be conscious. I mean, why else would you give a person a consciousness-blocking drug unless you thought perhaps there was a risk he might be conscious?
Well, now, if he assumed that is possible, wouldn't that be akin to murder?
You know, my head was swirling at the time, right? But at the time, you know, to my regret and shame, I listened to my authorities and I did what I was told. And really, it's my regret over this incident that motivates me to be speaking to you all here today. I mean, I'm here to tell you that I took the man to the operating room. I gave him the anesthetic that we had discussed. And the young man responded to surgery just like anyone else. He required the same types and the same amounts of anesthesia. You know, and so this started me thinking, why does a so-called dead man need anesthesia? And in fact, I told this story to a pathologist friend, and she told me when she does an autopsy in the morgue, she doesn't have to give any of these drugs when she removes organs. So again, this experience is what motivated me to look into things further. So I had to figure out, well, when is someone dead, right? I mean, you hear people, you know, sometimes over the Thanksgiving table talking about their Uncle Charlie, and he died five times, they say, but doctors kept shocking him back to life. And, you know, you understand what people mean when they say such things, but technically that's not correct, because if you can be resuscitated, you were never dead, right? No one comes back from the dead without divine intervention. That's called resurrection, right? That's different than what doctors do. So when I talk around the country, I find very few people who are pure materialists, who think, you know, we're just meat in motion. You know, most people of most faiths define death as the separation of the immaterial spirit or soul or life principle from the material body. But, you know, because the spirit is immaterial, we don't have any device to determine the exact moment of death when the spirit departs. So historically, you haven't needed a doctor to tell you when someone was dead. You know, for thousands of years, death has been declared at home, on the farm, on the battlefield, because people could look and see that there had been complete cessation of all vital functions beyond all possibility of resuscitation. And usually they would check absence of heartbeat, absence of breathing over the passage of time, and know that someone was dead. But, you know, in the past, people weren't in a great hurry to determine that you were dead. They actually gave you plenty of time to be sure. I mean, this is where our traditions of the vigil, right? People would sit up with the body and the wake, yes. Right? They gave you plenty of time. And, you know, these were good traditions. Not only did they give people time to be sure that death had occurred, but I think they were important times for people to grieve and to come to grips with the loss of their dear one. But today, you know, for the sake of organ procurement, death is declared as quickly as possible, because organs, you know, unlike tissues, and I'm going to give you a little biology lesson here, organs are things like heart, lungs, kidneys, livers. Organs very quickly start to break down once your circulation stops and become unsuitable for transplant. So really, you cannot donate an organ from a corpse. It's too late. The organs have already begun to decompose. Whereas tissues, now those are more simple structures, things like your corneas and your eyes, your skin, your bone, your heart valves, these simpler structures are much more resilient to a loss of circulation, and these can be donated by a biologically dead donor. So when I talk, I have to point out, I'm not opposed to all types of donations. Some are ethical and some are not. So we'll sort of be talking about those as I go along.
You know, folks, if you think this is terrible, and it is terrible beyond words, it's no less terrible, maybe less terrible perhaps, than murdering a child in the womb. This is something we got to understand. When you tolerate the death of the innocent, it isn't long you start down a slippery slope till you lose any conscience of really caring who's taken out and who isn't. So this is a very dangerous time in all of our lives. Are we going to speak up like Dr. Heidi is? Are we going to be quiet? Are we going to stand on the streets just like Brother Gary out in Arizona does? Are we going to keep our mouth shut? This is where conscience becomes seared. This is a very hideous thing to talk about, but it's nonetheless true. Go ahead, Dr. Heidi.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And it is difficult to talk about death. No, none of us like to think about it. But I'm so glad that so many pro-life organizations are starting to widen their focus and certainly take care of the unborn. But we need to protect life until natural death as well. And so I'm glad pro-life organizations are starting to pay attention to the other side of life as well. Well, you know, the definition of death actually was changed in 1968 by 13 men at Harvard Medical School who wrote a landmark article in the Journal of the American Medical Association proposing that we could just redefine certain people in a coma as being dead already. Now, they had no tests, they had no studies, they had no evidence of any kind that people in a coma who had always, up till now, were considered to be alive were now somehow dead. They just thought they would change the definition, and that's where brain death came from. I mean, the only rationale they gave for why people in a coma could be equated with being dead was utility. They said it would free up beds in intensive care units, and they said it would facilitate organ donation. And, you know, interestingly, there was a great deal of utility in this redefinition for doctors and medical facilities, because this redefinition allowed organ procurement to skirt the dead donor rule by simply, you know, by the stroke of a pen, declaring certain comatose people to be dead already. Now, the dead donor rule is not a law, but it's a universal ethical maxim that says people must neither be alive when their organs are removed, and they may not be killed by the process of organ removal. But if you've already taken a man who's got a beating heart, he's digesting food, he's making urine, he's absorbing oxygen, but you've defined him to be dead now? Now, if you've defined him to be dead, the dead donor rule is met by sleight of hand.
Oh, wow. And I know this. This is going to be a silly question. We know this happens. If you can, do you have any idea how often it happens?
You know, brain death is about 1 to 2% of hospital deaths nationwide is the figure that I'm remembering. You know, so brain death is an engineered diagnosis that takes a living person who's simply neurologically injured and redefines them as being dead before we have any evidence that the spirit has departed. Now, I mentioned that there had been no tests or studies at the time in 1968 that they made this change. It wasn't until 2 years later that someone did get around to doing a study. And what they found out, they took people who had been declared brain dead and they put them to autopsy to see if their brains were destroyed. Turned out, of the brains they looked at in the pathology lab, 10 appeared to be normal, and less than half, only about 40%, showed massive brain destruction. And the authors of this study said it wasn't possible to verify that a diagnosis made before cardiac arrest, which is the traditional way of determining death, would correlate with a brain that was actually destroyed. In fact, they said the upshoot of their study was that brain death was a prognosis of death, not a diagnosis. The word prognosis means that death appears to be imminent, but a prognosis is not the same as a diagnosis. And this has been the problem with brain death all along. It is a prognosis of death, not a diagnosis.
And in your knowledge, how often does this happen? Percentage-wise of the, and, you know, I mean, the people that donate organs, how many people do you think, percentage-wise, have themselves an organ donation?
Well, let me talk about the different ways to donate organs so that we can kind of break this down. The brain death, I know, is the greatest percentage of organ donation in the United States. Probably the second greatest is something they call donation after circulatory death. This is a diagnosis of death that was made up in the early 1990s as a way of procuring more organs. This is another unethical way of donating organs. What they do, these people that they say are donating after circulatory death, so the acronym is DCD, these patients are not brain dead, but either they're not expected to survive or they have simply decided that their quality of life is unacceptable. And they have decided to plan their death to occur at a specific time and place so that their organs can be harvested. So the way they do this is the patient signs a do not resuscitate order, and they take them to the operating room, and they withdraw their medical support, their ventilator, and all their drips are withdrawn. And they're watched. I mean, this is a horrible way to die. It's just ghastly. Instead of dying with, you know, with your family surrounding you, you're brought to a cold operating room among strangers. You're on the table. You're prepped and draped. Your support is withdrawn, and the doctors stand around and wait till your heart stops. They just watch you. Then doctors observe a 2 to 5 minute no-touch period. It depends on where you live. You know, in my state of Wisconsin, it's 2 minutes. In Canada, it's 5 minutes. So people are decided that they're dead enough depending on where they live geographically. And then as soon as that no-touch period goes past, doctors immediately begin the organ procurement. Now, Everybody knows that people are routinely resuscitated after just 2 to 5 minutes of pulselessness when they begin this organ withdrawal. And of course, if you could still be resuscitated, you were never dead. But because these people have made themselves do not resuscitate, they're not going to be resuscitated. So these, again, are people who are not dead yet because they are well within the time resuscitation is possible. They've just decided not to do it. And there are many countries who have recognized this. I mean, donation after circulatory death is banned because of these ethical concerns in Finland, Germany, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Hungary, Lithuania, and Turkey. And I have a case report, which is, you know, absolutely horrifying. A lady in my neighboring state of Illinois, a 30-some-year-old lady with Down syndrome, had a brain bleed. And she was not brain dead, but she had a bad brain injury, and she was not expected to survive. So doctors got her parents to consent to making her a donation after circulatory death organ donor. So, again, this poor woman was taken away from her family to the operating room table, prepped and draped for surgery. They took her off her ventilator and off her medications. The doctors stood around waiting for her to die. Once they saw that her pulse had stopped, the physician reached up under the sterile drape and listened for her heart tones and didn't hear any for 2 minutes. And she was pronounced dead at 2:59 a.m. And doctors began cutting down to get her kidneys. But when they got into her abdomen, they saw that her aorta and her renal arteries had pulsing blood flowing through them. Her heart had restarted, and she started gasping for breath. So, wow. What on earth? Now what do you do, right? You know, all they could do is they gave her additional doses of fentanyl and lorazepam, powerful medications, and subsequently, her heart did stop again, and she stopped breathing again. She was pronounced dead a second time at 3:17 a.m., but, you know, the county coroner ruled the cause of her death to be a homicide. What else could you call it? This, like you said, it was murder.
Wow. Was it? Well, did anything come out of that?
You know, I don't have any follow-up on whatever happened legally. I certainly hope that there was some justice brought for her parents. But, you know, if you didn't...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to move on, but if you want to continue on there,
well,
just
stop me a
minute.
We'll give a break in about 30 seconds, but...
Okay, do the break, and then I'll tell... If you didn't think it could get worse, it gets worse. I'll tell you after the break how it gets worse.
All right, we got about 30 seconds, so... So you've been exposing this for how long now? Actively exposing.
You know, I wrote my first book in, I believe, 2021. I've been talking to people. You know, I've been talking to people just personally, and then, you know, a pastor put me together with an author named Chris Bagosh, and we actually wrote our first book in 2021.
Wow. And there goes the break. I want, after the break, remind me to ask you, are you having any kickback? Anybody coming at you because of what you're trying to expose? Folks, after the break, as usual, we're on the phone lines up the phone calls. And I would think tonight you may have some questions. This is so hideous. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, or furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-206-2000. 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, we are back. We're talking to Dr. Heidi Kesling about something that is so gruesome and so astonishingly wrong that it's hard to wrap our mind around it. Now, I am by no means ever trying to make fun of anybody that signed a donor card. I'm not. I know you didn't do it for that reason. I know you didn't do it to be. You did it ignorantly, like most people have, because you didn't know. But, folks, the fact is, they cannot use your organs if you're dead. They're no good to them. They have to take your organs while you're still breathing. You still got blood circulation. Your body's still functioning. Well, the brain's dead. Perhaps. But again, perhaps not. There's no strict science that declares when something's really dead like that. So if you're thinking about becoming a donor, think again. If you got a family friend who's a donor, you may want to have get a copy of Dr. Heidi's book. We'll tell you to get a copy of the book in just a minute. But I urge you to pay attention to this. If you understand they kill unborn babies for profit, why not adults? Really? This is a big business in China. It's also a big business in Israel. Big business everywhere. In America also, there's money in this. And she said billions of dollars worth. So if the love of money is the root of all evil, why would this not be one of the evil? I'll let that sink in a minute. Now, Dr. Heidi, you covered a lot of things already, and I want you to continue. And, folks, the phone lines are open at 717-300-1698. But this happens, we know, every day somewhere in this country. It's happening every day. And overall, somebody in the hospital, some physician, has to know the truth behind this. They can't, all of them there cannot be totally ignorant of this. What's your opinion on that?
You know, interestingly, I met a couple of weeks ago a former transplant surgeon, and he said that, you know, Heidi, what you're saying is absolutely right. I actually had to get out of the transplant business because I became convinced that the organ donors were not dead. He said I was on a case. He said I'd done 1,000 of them, and I went to see this person who was going to become an organ donor, and his toes were wiggling. And I said, that man's not dead. I'm not going to do the case. And he said, and I became persona non grata that very day. And he said, I had to leave the business. He practices general surgery now. He doesn't do transplant anymore. So I think there are some people who hold sort of a conspiracy of silence about it. I do think, however, most doctors and nurses are just
question. They ostracized that person for saying this person is not dead. They actually more or less kicked
Correct.
Him out.
Correct. Well, they made him feel very uncomfortable to the point he voluntarily decided to change his practice. You know, now he does, you know, hernia surgery and regular surgery.
You would think he would have been a hero.
Not to them.
Wow. Go ahead, sweetheart. We'll take phone calls in a second. Go ahead.
So, again, I don't think most doctors and nurses are bad people. I think they're people who are, they're responsible for learning so many facts. They have to learn such a wide scope of knowledge that there's just no way possible for them to individually research everything that they are taught. They're fairly forced to take a lot on authority, to take a lot on just believing that their instructors know what they're doing, right? So I think most doctors and nurses have just been indoctrinated into these ideas of brain death, just like the rest of the general public. But when I speak, I often find that they say, you know, it always seemed wrong to me, but I never could put my finger on what's the problem with it. And so the more that we are honest with one another and we share the actual facts that are sort of behind the scenes, I think I have great hope for change.
Wow. So are you being pretty well received by other doctors maybe or people that you speak to, the medical profession?
Yeah, I very rarely run into someone who gets, you know, angry, interestingly. Most people are very interested. They maybe begin out by being somewhat skeptical, but as I present my information and they see that, you know, I have the scientific studies, I have the research. Most people are very pleasant. Every once in a while, I do get someone who gets angry. But I'll tell you what, Pastor Butch, I think of that as a win, because honestly, I think anger is the correct response to being confronted by these facts. I mean, honestly, I was angry when I first realized what I had done because I had been lied to. So when someone gets angry, to me, that's a win, because that tells me that person has heard me and understood what I said, and they're going to think about it later. So I want to tell your audience, you know, sometimes you present facts to people and you get an angry response. Don't be put off by that. That's actually a win.
Well, I've always said when I'm preaching, I either want to make you mad or glad. If you're glad, then I know you're walking in Christ and love the truth. If you're mad, I know you're thinking about it.
That's right.
We touched you somewhere. So you've been doing this how many years now? I'm trying to expose this.
I wrote my first book in 2021 and my second one in 2023.
And do you speak mostly before professional groups like other doctors and surgeons, or who do you speak to normally?
It's a nice mix. You know, last night I provided a grant, what we call in medicine, a grand rounds for a doctor's group. And here I'm speaking on a Christian radio station. And I'll speak to church groups and I'll speak at medical conferences. I just had the opportunity earlier this year to speak for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. They had a brain death symposium because the Catholic bioethics people are very concerned with the new brain death guideline that's been put out by the American Academy of Neurology. The new guideline explicitly states that you can declare brain death in the presence of ongoing brain function. So Now, did you catch that? Not only now can your heart be beating, can you be absorbing oxygen, releasing carbon dioxide, digesting food, making urine, but now they also expressly, in written language, allow you to be declared brain dead when parts of your brain are still working. And the National Catholic Bioethics Center was very concerned about this. So they had experts from all over the board coming to speak on that, and they're going to come out with a position statement, I think, in the near future.
What that is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, they're making it worse, not better.
That's correct. But they're in an awful hurry to get those organs. You can declare brain death in an adult just 24 hours after the injury occurs. Now, if you've ever had a sprained ankle, you know it takes more than 24 hours for the swelling to come down. So think of someone who's had a brain injury. That they need time to have that swelling come down to see how they're going to do, but they're not getting it if you can declare brain death that quickly.
That's absolutely absurd and scary. Let's go to the phones. Let's speak to our sister Donna in Arizona. Donna, come on in. Welcome.
God bless you. God bless our precious lady here who's had to go through all this and see all this, but is sharing it now with all the people that need to hear it. We all need to hear this. We stand out on the street and for the aborted babies, the murder of the babies. And, you know, they're murdering these babies while they're alive, they're born, to harvest their organs. My dear Lord in heaven, how can this be? How can this be? And that we have come that or gone down that far. A group, we support several groups. And one of the groups is 40 Days for Life. They have said that over in New York, one of their Planned Parenthood's big old places there in New York have closed completely down. These people have been out there for 13 years praying and standing on the sidewalks, holding up signs and praying right there on that sidewalk. And they literally stood for life.
Amen.
And God closed this thing down. And I know people are praying out there that abortion would end, that the murder of these innocents would end.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, folks, the truth. You need to be out on the street. There's no reason that you cannot go out on the street in your town, hold up a sign, and say to stop this, or however you want to place it, whatever God puts on your heart. But you need to do that. And because without that, the doing part, it's not going to end at all. And
no,
dear God in heaven, what this country has done now to people, and this is murder. It's murder, like you have said. And there's no other words for it. It's
no, there's
murder.
Not. No, there's not. There is no other words. That's why they call it abortion. That itself sounds...
Yes.
Sounds much better in the same way as donor harvest. I mean, body harvesting. That sounds better than killing. It'll get body parts. I mean,
right.
It just sounds better.
Right.
You know?
And when you abort something, what is abort? Abort is stop.
That's right.
Well, you're stopping something that is, and it's awful. This country has gone so far down. And Gary's trying to grab for the phone.
Okay, go ahead,
so,
Gary.
Okay.
Love you, Donna.
I'm just going to take a minute, Butch. I want to thank you both so very, very much for being a voice. We're not only for the preborn, you know, but for America itself that has let this go on and let this go on for years and years and years. So you both are a light in the darkness. I just want
you
to know that. And I appreciate you both. And God bless you and keep you. And I just want everybody to know that you can help. Pray to God. Everybody can't do what we do, but you can do something. God bless you
Amen.
Both. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. What a sweet call. Thank you. Don and Gary, thank you so much. Any comments on that, Dr. Heidi?
Well, you know, it just gives me hope that, that there are people out there who are praying. And, you know, our Lord's arm isn't so short that he can't save. But I think he likes to be asked. So I'm so glad Donna and Greg are out there working in the trenches and doing the good work.
Don and Gary have been on the streets for many years, and neither woman spring chickens any longer, and they're starting to catch up to them some. You know, they pay the price, and they weren't afraid to pay the price because they're doing it for the innocent. That's the kind of people they are. Let's talk to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butts. Hello, Dr. Heidi. Dr. Heidi, I have a very important personal question concerning myself, and I don't know who to turn to. I'm in a pretty scary predicament. Maybe you can help me. For somebody who has no power of attorney, no medical directives, no family alive anymore, and nobody to speak on my behalf, I'm thinking, I'd like to know your reaction to this. I'm thinking of keeping a note in my wallet. Should I have to go to the hospital stating these words? And these words will say, you know, in case I have to go to the hospital in an emergency, this note would say, I do not consent to any, organ donation or donations. Number two, a DNR directive, vaccines of any kind. Number four, ventilators. Five, remdesivir. And have my lawyer's name, address, and phone number on it. What would be your opinion of maybe if I could protect myself in that way? Would that help?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because that's such an important thing for people to know about. If you go to my website, which is called respectforhumanlife.com, respectforhumanlife.com, and you scroll down the home page, you'll come to a button and it says, you know, how do I get off the donor list? And if you click that, we have a lot of exactly what you're talking about, information that you can have for free. We have links to a card like you're talking about, a refusal to donate type card. There's also links there to free of charge, a life-affirming health care power of attorney for all the different states. And you can designate, if you don't have a next of kin immediately available, you can designate another surrogate person, you know, a friend or a pastor, someone you trust, to be there to speak for you if you cannot. So absolutely, I think you should have these things documented in writing for the end of your life, because there's a law called the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act that actually says if you come into the hospital and you're incapacitated and they can't find any next of kin, even the hospital administrator is authorized to donate your organs on your behalf unless you have a specific refusal. So this idea of a specific refusal is exactly what you need. And if you handwrite it, that's fine. Or if you go to our website, respectforhumanlife.com, scroll down along the homepage, okay, you see the button saying how to get off the donor list, and you'll find links to those types of powerful documents that you need.
Yeah, well, I'm in a desperate situation, and it gets really depressing at times when I think about it. And I will go, I don't have a computer, but I'll have somebody go to that website for me, because I have to come up with a solution. Sure, I'm 65 years old. I'm not getting any younger, so I have to act on this as soon as I can. And Dr. Heidi, thank you so much. Now, God bless you.
Thank you, Paul Chance. Folks, phone lines open, 717-300-1698. If you heard this program tonight, you've already signed up to be an organ donor. You just heard how you can get off that donor list, and I advise you do that. Dr. Heidi, how can people get a copy of your book?
again, if you want to do it the easy way, you just go to the website, respectforhumanlife.com, and you can see links there. Otherwise, you can find us on Amazon, and the book is called The Brain Death Fallacy, or search Dr. Heidi Klessig, and you'll find that book, as well as my first book, which was written for, you know, for the folks in the church pew, called Harvesting Organs and Cherishing Life, What Christians Need to Know About Organ Donation and Procurement.
Wow.
But they're both on the website. If you look, the quick way to do it would be to go to respectforhumanlife.com.
A lot of folks that listen to broadcasts do not have computers. They don't trust them, and I understand where they're coming from. Are there other ways to get a copy, a phone to call or an address to write to, or other ways they can get a copy of the book?
You know, I can check with my publisher, and I can maybe make that available to you, Pastor Butch, and then you
okay.
can have it available for the people.
Folks, if you think we're going to copy this book, and how much is the book?
That's up to my publisher, too. I honestly don't know. So I think they're around $15 a piece.
Folks, if you want to order a book, if you want to send $15 and a couple dollars shipping, make sure it's all covered, I, again, will offer my services. I will send your address to Dr. Heidi and send her the money, and she'll send you a book. Is that fair enough, Dr. Heidi?
No, you won't send me the money because that goes to my publisher. But I will do, Pastor, is I will connect you and my publisher, and you can work it out. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good. If I get any orders, I'll let you know. Then we'll get in touch with him and take it from there then. All right, sounds well. Again, folks, 717-300-1698. About 5-6 minutes left. So if you want to call, please do hurry and ask your questions. I think tonight's topic is gruesome. I don't like talking about it. It's sickening to think people are that greedy. It's disgusting to think the church is so brain dead on so many different things. But unfortunately, we are. I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. I mean, we've all been dumbed down to believe whatever told by the white coats. And whoever else out there we think we need to trust, that's the way you've been trained. That's just the way it is. Now, we're down about the last 3 or 4 minutes. So, Dr. Heidi, you tell us what you want us to know. Just go and keep
okay.
sharing with
you
us.
Know, and when I speak, the one message that I always want to get out is that, you know, if you're a doctor or a nurse, if say you out of the goodness of your heart you gave one of your family members to become an organ donor, or perhaps you've received an organ yourself, you know, I'm here to tell you it is not your fault that you were not given this information. I mean, you made the best decision you could at the time with the information you had available to you. So again, we need to be merciful, and we need to remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is merciful, and forgiveness is found in Jesus. How could I even be here speaking to you knowing that I myself was part of a medical murder of a patient? I held him down with anesthetic drugs so he couldn't move, and watched as the surgeons basically dismembered him to death. How could I live with myself if I didn't know for sure that Christ Jesus died to save sinners, of which I certainly am nearly the chief, right? St. Paul's the chief, but I'm right up there.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are a loving, forgiving God, that we can bring all of our troubles to you. So I want
Amen.
You people to have hope.
Amen. Well, that is our hope. That's our only hope is Christ. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us also that our righteousness is filthy rags. We don't deserve a second chance. But deserving has nothing to do with it. It's by the grace of Christ that we're together talking about this. I tell you what, Dr. Heidi, I feel like you do. If I know this. If Christ wasn't forgiving, what the power to forgive wasn't there through his precious blood, I'd be in hell right now. There'd be no chance for me at all. So I'm so thankful that his patience and his mercy have been with me for many years now. He's blessed me way beyond what I deserve. And I know that. I know that. And I just want to thank him for that. And I know you feel the same way.
That's right.
So, folks, we're about out of time. If you want to call, you have about 2 minutes left. Love to hear from you. But these are things that we need to share, folks, and give hope to people that don't understand what we're talking about, perhaps. It's not because they're ignorant. Well, they may be ignorant, but they're not stupid. They just don't know. No one's told them. Who How many times y'all heard this topic talked about before? You don't hear it. I have never heard it anywhere on any program. Maybe it has been, and probably has been, but I never heard it. So these are things that we get to pay attention to. This is a blessing. Let's talk to Chad in North Carolina. Chad, come on in. Welcome. You got 1 minute here.
Yes, sir. It's definitely a topic that I've never heard discussed with any depth on any other program. I was just going to kind of throw a curveball and ask Dr. Heidi, are you aware of any deaths being declared as a result of COVID which were not in the category of, I guess, being declared deceased? Or did you ever come across any information like that?
You know, the only one that I know about for sure was in my own state would be the Grace Shara case. Which
I've interviewed her daddy before and after the case. Yes, go ahead.
That one for sure.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because it just seemed like there were so many cases of people passing away supposedly from COVID, and I think they were being put on respirators and places like New York. It seemed to me they just tried to sweep it all under the rug, and horrible what happened during that time. And there's still people that are walking around wearing masks. I still see them.
Well, for what it's worth, Chad, there is starting to be some kickback in the house. Some lawsuits are starting up over this hoax, this murder drug, we call it. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but there are some lawsuits starting up. People are starting to get their eyes open a little bit to what happened and begin to speak up. And thanks for the call, Chad. Anything else?
I'm praying hard for all this horrible stuff to be overturned, because it's just,
amen.
It's hard to live through.
It is. It can be. But keep your eyes on Christ, Chad. There's a reason for everything, or he's not God. We know God is God. That's all there is to it. So whatever happens will ultimately be his will for some reason. So keep praying and ask him if he would intervene for the innocent. And thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Chad. All right, I guess he's going. Dr. Heidi, are you still there?
I'm still here.
We got about 30 seconds. Give your information out one more time.
So my name is Dr. Heidi Klesig. My website is respectforhumanlife.com. If you are on social media, you can follow me on X at @HeidiKlesigMD. And my book is The Brain Death Fallacy. My other book is Harvesting Organs and Cherishing Life, What Christians Need to Know About Organ Procurement and Transplant.
Okay. Dr. Heidi, thank you for your courage, and thanks for what you're doing. May I have you again on some time to ask some more detailed questions?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, you have my number. If you need me, I'll do anything to help you. Please let me know. I'll do what I can to help anytime.
Thank you.
All right. God bless this. And, folks, there you go, Dr. Heidi Kissing. And it's not a pleasant topic, but it's a topic that's discussed. It really does. And don't forget, tomorrow being Thursday, if Lord willing, if everything goes the way it should, I'll be in office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern to take phone calls. And if I can talk with you and help you in any way, please feel free to call. If I get a little busy and I have to call you back, don't be disgusted with me, because I will call you back if you need me, I promise. Have a great night. See you in office tomorrow. Good night.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC.com. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.